With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Realpolitik. I am your host, Firas Mahdad. As has become usual now, I think, we are live. So if you have any questions, please put them into the chat and I will happily address them. Today we're going to be talking about the roots of the Syrian civil war and be doing a little bit of a deep dive on that. To understand Syria, the first place to start in any geopolitical analysis is, well, the geography. And if you look at a map of Syria, this is one by Suriyak, who is an excellent mapper on Twitter, on X. Where's his name? Oh, it doesn't appear here. But he's really, really good. And I love his maps and I use them all the time. And I'm not getting paid to say this. But anyway, this is a good map of who's controlling which bits of Syria. And what I want to start with is the geography and the importance of Damascus. If you look at Syria and Lebanon and Israel, there is the West Lebanon mountain chain that starts somewhere around here in today's Turkey, in Iskenderun, goes all the way along the coast, hugging the coast into the country of Lebanon itself and ending somewhere near northern Israel. So that's the West Lebanon mountain chain. And then there's the East Lebanon mountain chain. It's considerably shorter and ends with the Galilee Panhandle. And behind those two mountain chains is the city of Damascus. And Damascus is really important because it has an abundance of water, excellent agricultural land, at least before the population exploded. And it is the place that you want to place your military forces if you are to try to dominate Syria itself, as well as Lebanon, Jordan, and modern-day Israel. So the importance of Syria really rests on the city of Damascus. It's protected by these mountain chains. It's protected by the Golan Heights. It's got an abundance of water. It's the desert is to its rear. And this is where you want to place your forces to dominate the whole Levant region. And really, it's the centerpiece of the whole geography of the Middle East. There isn't anywhere like it until you get to Baghdad, which is why historically the two most important cities in the Levant have been Damascus, Baghdad, and to a lesser extent, Aleppo here in the north. And if you can dominate Damascus and you are on technological parity with your enemies, you can dominate the whole region. The reason the Crusades failed, the main reason the Crusades failed, was because the Crusaders were too focused on getting from Antioch here to Jerusalem, and they took the coastal route instead of taking the interior route and securing their flank properly and hugging the river going from Aleppo through Hama, through Homs, through Damascus itself. And if you control these four cities and you have technological parity, if you control Aleppo, Hama, Homs, and Damascus, you pretty much dominate the eastern Mediterranean coast because nobody can properly muster a force against you, especially if you have some naval assets to sort of fight along the coast as well. So holding Damascus is really key to holding the rest of the region. The fertility of the plains there, the availability of water, the fact that this is the oldest inhabited city in the world, continuously inhabited city in the world, all show you the importance of this strategic location. So that's what you want to think about first when you think about Syria. If you dominate these four cities, you dominate all of Syria, and therefore you dominate the coast. And if you dominate Damascus, Israel is immediately placed at risk. And the reason the Crusades failed was because they couldn't take Damascus. And the most important city in the early Islamic empire was Damascus. So Islam started here in Mecca and Medina and Saudi Arabia. But really, they became a major threat and a major problem once they took Damascus. And all of the fighting in the early Islamic history between the Sunnis and the Shia, a lot of it was focused on who is the ruler of Damascus, and that was Muawiyah. And he founded the Umayyad state, the first proper dynastic Islamic caliphate that went on to expand all the way from India to Spain. So Damascus really is sort of a keystone city in world geography. It's enormously important. But Syria is a deeply divided country. Ethnically and religiously, this country is a huge mosaic. This is a pretty good map that I found on Reddit. In yellow are the Sunni Arabs. In the darker color, the darker yellow brown, I want to call it, are the Kurds. And then the Alawites, who are a heretical extremist Shia sect, live in the mountains here. And then you have the Christians dispersed in red in a bunch of different places in Syria. Their numbers have reduced dramatically as a result of the civil war in Syria. So this is the geography and the ethnic composition of the country. And then in the 1960s, there was massive turmoil in the Middle East. This is something that I've addressed previously, because it had been a generation since the end of the Ottoman Caliphate in 1923, which left the Muslim world without a center of gravity. And different ideologies tried to come in and say, we are going to offer an alternative to end the humiliation of the Arabs at the hands of Israel. And one of these alternatives was Ba'athism, a secular ideology, a secular nationalist ideology that wanted to unite all of the all of the Arab world under the leadership of the Ba'ath Party. It only took hold properly in Syria and in Iraq, and promptly, because of the importance of Baghdad versus Damascus, fell into infighting, and they had a bunch of conflicts between them, mostly hidden conflicts, over who gets to dominate the Arab world in the future. So to start with understanding Syria, you've got to have this background there. The Ba'ath Party, you know, their logo is the Palestinian flag, along with a map of all of the countries of the Arab League, with the slogan being one Arab nation or ummah with an immortal message or mission. So this is what they believe in. And for them, their claim to power was that we are going to rejuvenate the Arab world in a way that permits us to defeat Israel and therefore the West behind Israel. This was the driving ideology. Because they were secular and didn't want a religious ideology governing them, and because they themselves were Alawites, meaning that the Sunni Muslims view them as heretics, as unbelievers, and therefore unworthy of leadership, the immediate reaction from the Muslim Brotherhood, which, as I'd mentioned in the past, an organization founded in 1928, with the explicit objective of founding a Muslim state again and of ending nationalism so that there can be pan-Islamism instead, the Muslim Brotherhood reacted by launching an insurgency. And that insurgency kicked around from the 60s, but it really peaked in 1979 when the Muslim Brotherhood managed to massacre a pretty large number of Syrian military officers in the city of Aleppo in order to kick off a broader war. And the reaction to that attack from the Muslim Brotherhood ended up being the Hama massacre, the famous massacre of 1982, where something between 10,000 and 40,000. I lean towards the lower estimates, frankly. 10,000 to 20,000 people were murdered in the city of Hama using artillery and tanks and whatnot in order to just end that insurgency and in order to make an example. And remember, Syria rests on the control of this chain of cities, Aleppo, Hama, Homs, and Damascus. And so if you manage to take Homs or if you manage to take Hama, you pretty much cut the country in two. And so the Assad saw that as a major threat to their survival, and they reacted in a very Middle Eastern way by conducting an exemplary massacre in Hama, and that succeeded in ending the insurgency. But at the same time, since 1975, there had been a civil war in Lebanon. And if you look historically at the invasions of Damascus and the number of times that Damascus was captured, one of the big routes was through, was basically invasions from Egypt, with the armies marching up along the coast, bifurcating in Palestine, Israel, going up along the coast, but also splitting to go through the interior into the Bekaa Valley. And then the mountains kind of recede in this area here, Anjar. And that allows armies to cross the East Lebanon mountain chain and invade Damascus. So this was always a threat to the Syrian government that somehow they will be invaded by forces that find a land supply route. Therefore, they don't depend so much on the coast. And remember, the coast of Lebanon is so narrow that you can't really concentrate armies there. You have to invade Lebanon through the Bekaa. And with Lebanon being very unstable, that immediately becomes a threat to Damascus itself. So in Lebanon, they were the war in Lebanon, which actually probably deserves a number of episodes. The war in Lebanon was being fought mainly between Christian militias on the one side and Palestinians and Muslims on the other. The Muslims sided with the Palestinians because I covered this a lot or in some detail in a Brokenomics episode about the Lebanese Civil War and what it means for Britain. The Christians saw themselves as defending Lebanon's identity and defending the only country in the Middle East that is Christian-dominated. The Muslims and the Palestinians wanted to use Lebanon as a frontline state to fight against Israel. The Syrians, because of their ideology and because of geography, saw this as an opportunity. So they first intervened in the civil war in Lebanon on the side of the Christians against the Palestinians, because the Palestinians were too rowdy and their militancy was threatening Syria itself. Because if Lebanon gets invaded by the Israelis, what do you know? The Bekaa Valley, this part of the country here, gets captured. And when this part of the country is captured, Damascus is immediately under threat. And if Damascus is dominated by the Israelis, then it's pretty much over because of the importance of the city of Damascus. So this is the geographic and historic context there. Eventually, the Lebanese Christians, eventually two things happened. First, the Lebanese Christians began taking weapons from Israel. Second, the Israelis invaded southern Lebanon to push the Palestinians back. The first time they invaded in 1978, they took a very small strip along the border, mainly to defend the Galilee, which, as you can see here, this town is Kiryat Shmona, the largest town in what is referred to as the Galilee Panhandle or the Galilee Finger. And this part gets threatened regularly from Lebanon, so the Israelis come into this area and secure themselves. And this area is mixed. It's Sunni, it's Shia, but it's also Christian. And it means that the Israelis can get closer to Jezzin, a major Christian town, at the southern tip of Mount Lebanon, and from there the whole of Mount Lebanon opens to them, which means that the Bekaa is militarily vulnerable under the technology that the Israelis have. Damascus is vulnerable. So the Syrians are intervening in the Lebanese civil war, and at the same time they're at threat domestically from the Sunni Muslims, who are a threat to the Alawites who dominate the Ba'ath Party, and that is informing Syrian decision-making. And it leads the Syrians initially to back the Christians against the Palestinians, but then it leads them to back the Muslim side, especially after 1982, when the Israelis invade all the way to Beirut and expel the Palestinians once and for all. And now they dominate the Beirut-Damascus highway, meaning, obviously, Damascus is under threat. So this is the thinking of the Syrians in this time period. Eventually, the Americans broker some kind of agreement. The Israelis break it a couple of times, but because the Syrians can't do very much about it, their air force got humiliated by the Israelis in Lebanon. They lost, I think, 70 jets in the span of half an hour. So their whole Syrian air force gets destroyed over Lebanon. And so a new stability emerges, where the Israelis have a strong position in Lebanon, but then the Syrians start backing insurgent movements, Muslim insurgent movements, in partnership with the Iranians and with the left. These insurgencies then eventually become Hezbollah. And using Hezbollah, the Syrians and their allies slowly push Israel out, first out of Beirut, then out of Sidon on the coast, and then the Israelis remain in a security belt covering this area from around Rashaya here, which is Druze, to Jezzine, which is Christian, and dominating bits of South Lebanon, especially along the border, and they create the security belt. And the Israelis don't forgive the Syrians. They don't forgive the Syrians for obvious reasons, because were it not for the Syrians, the Israelis would have helped the Christians dominate Lebanon and would have made some kind of peace with Lebanon. And that peace would have meant that the Israeli northern flank was secure and that there was another similar state, ethno-religious, ethno-nationalist, dominating Lebanon, allied with the West, meaning that the coastal area has become dominant over the interior, and meaning that Damascus is threatened. So again, it's all about the location of Damascus. Now, in 1990, things change even more deeply. The Lebanese civil war is ongoing, but Saddam Hussein in Iraq decides to settle his score with Kuwait, and he invades Kuwait. And the Americans are absolutely terrified. Saddam has a relatively up-to-date Soviet military, Soviet armed military. Iraq and Syria, you have to remember, both rejected the 1973 peace agreement between Egypt and Israel. Both insisted that they wanted to continue fighting Israel. And they were competing with each other and not trusting each other, but they were still a threat. And so Saddam invades Kuwait, with the Americans giving a very mealy-mouthed message about whether or not he should or shouldn't. But for the Americans, the real horror is that from Kuwait, Saddam could have continued southwards with nobody able to stop him into Saudi Arabia and taken the eastern province of Saudi Arabia. And if he had taken the eastern province, he would have dominated the oil industry of the Middle East completely, because the UAE would obviously fall into his hands. Qatar and Bahrain would obviously fall into his hands. That combination of Iraqi, Saudi, Kuwaiti, the rest of the Arab oil would have reminded everybody of the 1973 oil crisis, where the Arab states decided to stop supplying oil to the West, causing a massive spike in prices that led to stagflation, and massive amounts of inflation that were not controlled pretty much until Reagan and Thatcher took over in the 1980s. So that's why the West panics at Saddam's invasion of Kuwait. And they decide, the Americans decide, that they're going to make a deal. They'll give the Syrians what they want in Lebanon in exchange for Syria supporting the liberation of Kuwait from Iraqi forces. And that deal is pretty critical because it comes at the expense of the Christians, who were still in control of their own areas in Lebanon. And it reduces Israeli ambitions in Lebanon enormously. And it means that the Americans have all of the public legitimacy that they need to proceed with the liberation of Kuwait. And since then, all we've seen is the expansion of American bases all over the Middle East, including the UAE, the Udaid Air Base in Qatar, the naval base in Bahrain, the expansion of CENTCOM, et cetera, et cetera. So that deal between the Americans and the Syrians pretty much created the correct atmosphere for the U.S. to massively expand itself militarily all over the Middle East. And it made the U.S. the main hegemon, and it came at the expense of Israel and the Lebanese Christians. So that's sort of important to note.